today because I had an exciting day yesterday. I'll probably go without announcing it. I want to do an icebreaker anyway, so if y'all would, let me break ice. Yesterday, those of you that helped in any form or fashion, I told Pastor I like to have evidence. Ronald Reagan said, trust but verify. Y'all remember that one? I want to verify and I want to trust, but I think we broke a record yesterday because here on the property alone, we raised over $1,600 before lunch. And the proceeds all go to us in some form or fashion. Makes me very glad. He has made me glad. Amen. Thank you guys for participating again in every form or fashion. I don't want to leave any names out because I'm looking across the group right now. We had $800 in the first 45 minutes from all the early risers. So those of you that came help set up, that's why we get up early. Amen. Hope most of them that came out prayed on the way to church to help. But I love doing it. It is something we started years ago. And it is, if you would, an outreach because we have regular customers that come and be a part with us in the yard sales. And I'm hoping we pass out cards, we pass out flowers. Those of you that were there, thank you again. Y'all know what we were doing. Hopefully we see somebody. Usually when we see them today is because they bought something that was broken yesterday and they wanted money back. Happens every yard sale, but maybe they'll come and be a part of church service too. But anyhow, I think we broke a record, but I'll verify later. Again, much thanks. And for those of you while I'm breaking ice, please remember next weekend we're going to have a big time on Saturday at 5 o'clock. I'm looking to see if how many deer in the headlights I get on that one. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? Just raise your hand quietly. I don't want to ruin the surprise. Okay, we got a big dinner here. If you haven't heard about it yet, please get with the faculty in the back and sign up. We're going to have a Christmas dinner next Saturday. And speaking of the holidays, our lessons pastors have been telling you about, we're going to teach in harmony from all our Sunday school classes. We're going to talk about marvelous things. We're going to talk about holiday season. And for your information, those of you that come from churches that taught real strict doctrine or lessons, Pastor has allowed us to teach them the way we are. So you're still going to get the variety. Some of y'all like, a lot of the newcomers have said, man, I love the variety of your Grace Point. It's not a one-man show. And Pastor has allowed us to be used here and outside of here. And I appreciate him for that because it could be a one-man show. And it's not. It's God's show under Pastor McGuire's guidance. And if you can follow along with me, I'm going to do it my way. Some of y'all are old enough to remember that. Some aren't still looking at me. What is he talking about? But marvelous things. I'm going to read to you something because I learned something in studying today. I remember, let me go ahead and read first. Because I was going to sing, but I can't sing. Brother Click usually backs me up, and I didn't ask him to. Brother, you were at the yard sale yesterday, Ira, right? Yes, you was. There you go. One down. You didn't bring nothing back, did you? Okay, welcome. Psalms 98, verse 1. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm had gotten him the victory. The Lord had made known his salvation. His righteousness hath he openly showed in the sight of the heathen. He hath remembered his mercy and his truth toward the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. Make a loud noise and rejoice. And sing praise, sing unto the Lord with a harp, with the harp, with the voice of a psalm, with trumpets and a sound of cornet. Make a joyful noise before the Lord, the King. Let the sea roar and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. Let the floods clap their hands, and let the hills be joyful together. Before the Lord, and he cometh to judge the earth with righteousness, shall he judge the world, and with people with equity. When I read all of this, I'm not a very good reader. I try real hard. They had a few pictures in there. I might have done better. But when I read things like this, I'm gone after like the second verse. King James Version or anybody's version, I'm just not that kind of reader. I like pictures. I like videos. If I could touch it, I'll remember it on a kinetic learner. How many of y'all are like that? I do repetition pretty well. I'm going to read this in another short version here in a minute, but Isaac Watts. Anybody ever heard that name before? I'll tell you a quick short story about him. He was a young man in 1692. He was 18 years old. And when I was reading and studying the lesson in 1692, I wondered, wow, they had church then? I always think of way back when I read the Bible. I've been in this lifestyle for 25 years, so I can't go back for some of you in the class today. But some of you are second and third generation in the class today, and your legacy goes way back. Some of y'all go back when the Holy Ghost moved in America for the first time. Not me. Not me. Not poor little me. My generation doesn't go back that far. My little generation popped out of a nightclub, and God saved me on Sunday after almost going to jail on Saturday. That's how far back my lineage goes. And I'm proud to be married to a woman whose lineage goes way back when. She thought because she smelled rum in a pie at my house that it was going to get her drunk. Can we eat this? Because my aunt likes to put rum in everything in Louisiana, amen? But when I read the story of Isaac Watts, I said, wow, in 1692, he was an 18-year-old man who didn't like to go to church too well, it appeared, but he went to church anyway, and he was third generation, and he didn't sing during worship. Now, most of y'all sang just now, right? And it was, well, he has made me glad. I'm sure we could find that in the Bible. I'm sure we could find some scriptures why the songwriter wrote those and used those words. But Isaac, as a kid, I don't think they had the musicians we had. Probably sounded good. I don't want to take away from the band back then. But he didn't sing because he didn't like the way the song sounded. And his daddy got on to him about it. And he said to his son, well, if you don't like the songs we sing, would you write your own? And at 18 years old, he went back into scriptures and he went into the book of Revelation where it talks about in the fifth chapter with the horns and the beast and all the things in Revelation. And he came out with a song and he says, behold the glories of the Lamb, admits his father's throne, prepare new honors for his name, and all songs before him unknown. Had a little rhyme. He might have been a old-time rapper, I don't know. Maybe it was before his time. But he brought rhyme to the songs in the church, and his daddy was so excited, he brought it to the elders of the church, and they sang it first Sunday out the gate. They loved it so much that they asked him to make sure he had one for the next Sunday service. And 222 services later, he was still writing every weekend songs that he pulled out of the Word of God. And now I'm like, wow. 222 divided by 52 is what? Some 4 years? He had to come to church services with a new song. And God blessed him with the new song, and he sang the new song, and he must have been excited about this new song, and he probably started a trend in his worship. I didn't describe what kind of faith he was in or denomination, but I couldn't imagine in 1692 that they had a lot of apostolic rocking churches, do y'all? Maybe more Quakerish. Then to say the least, the young man brought out, and he wrote this, and we sing it this time of the year as a carol, but it wasn't written as a carol. Y'all ready for this one? How many of y'all remember Joy to the World? The Lord has come. Let earth receive his king. Let every heart prepare his room, and heaven and nature sing. He wrote that psalm when he was writing the Psalm 98 that I just poorly read to you a minute ago and probably lost y'all on the second verse. But this young man was used as a marvelous thing in 1692. And I'm saying it to go slow because we're going to do some things in 2019. We're going to grow this church. It's going to be a year that we're going to remember. Because you're going to bring friends to church that you never brought before. People you're hanging around with all the time, they're going to come to church with you and sit in a row with you. You're going to bring friends, family, moms, dads, brothers, sisters, the ones that just got out of jail. How many of y'all got family in jail? Say amen. Amen. How many of y'all got family in the hospital? Say amen. How many of y'all got family that ought to be in the hospital? Say amen. We're going to bring them all to church this year by the grace of God. And we're going to entertain them through the marvelous thing that God has put in us, just like Isaac Watts. We're all diverse. Amen? The lady that was highlighted the most, and I wanted to say this, I wanted to say this nice, because some of you may have never heard this before, but with some church doctrines, Mother Mary, we know her as Sister Mary. Amen? Because Sister Mary had to get baptized in Jesus' name and get filled with the Holy Ghost too, just in case you didn't know that. I had to be taught that several times until I finally got it. But when I got it, I understood. But Mary, Esther and I got to go to Israel 20 years ago. We brought Jolie with us. We carried her in a concealed luggage. So we didn't have to pay for her on the plane. And so Jolie went to the Holy Land too. And in the Holy Land, we get to do, you know, again, Israel's not a third world nation as we see on TV and all, but there's still kibbutz, the little villages in the rural areas. And we got to go to a kibbutz. And I looked around and I'm like, and when I say small town, it's a small town. Mulberry would be a metropolis to the towns, what they call a town in Israel, what I learned there. And just to think that a young lady would have such a marvelous thing that she would bring forth the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Now, I, as a man, do not understand how your sisters feel when y'all pregnant. I do not know. I'm not going to say, I understand. Because I don't. But I do remember when my wife found out she was pregnant for Alexis, how excited she was. And then she could do it again with Mariah, and again with Jolie, and again with Gabby. And in the fifth round, she said, I had to get another wife. But all the first four rounds, she was thrilled to bring forth a child. It was exciting to pick their names. We didn't know when they were going to be born, but we were going to have them at home, and we were going to go, and all those things that holiness people do in Georgia, and I'm from Louisiana going, huh? But Mary had to experience that too. And just to think of all the marvelous things that happened in the small village, the small community, but all the pain and suffering she went through bearing that child. I'm not here to judge, but there's probably several ladies that we know that are carrying a baby and not married right now. Can y'all think of one? I can. I know several right now that are pregnant out of wedlock. Do you think Mary felt that way without no husband? And she's talking around, I'm going to have a baby. Just something for you to think, because the transition into this marvelous thing, you guys, stay with me as I do this part, real gentle-like, but all of us filled with the Holy Ghost are carrying the baby Jesus. Some of y'all haven't let him out yet. When was the last time you brought somebody to church Was the last time you let that is within you come out like Mary did? Mary couldn't stop it. She couldn't hold it back. 9 months, it was a done deal. Right? Some of us are new in the church and we're new here, and 9 months, done deal. It's so exciting that when we first get the Holy Ghost, how excited we are, like Mary was. I bet you she was thrilled, even though people probably looked down on her. How many had somebody look down on you today yet? Because it's going to probably come before the day is over with. How many about looked down on you yesterday? Amen. When we follow a new thing and a new song in our life, the first few verses of our Psalm 98 was that he has done marvelous things, and the writer wanted us to portray worship first. Worship first. How many of y'all come in here ready to worship today? Me too. Is it because we're apostolic? Probably. Because we're taught that way. I believe in worship. I believe worship is a great thing. I believe worship opens the doors to all the marvelous things in our lives. Amen. Of the things that I would say that I would love to do, how many of you like to shout? I'm not going to make a shout, even though I get to teach it our way. How many of y'all like to shout? 2, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. How many of y'all like to show out and shout? How many of y'all like proud? When Mary had Jesus, okay, she knew what she had, right? How many of y'all know what you got? How many of you know what you have? How many of you know we don't shoot pellet guns, amen? We shoot 50 caliber apostolic. People got power. We not go pop, pop in the air and a little sponge ball comes out when we shout. We're 50 caliber, okay? Just in case you didn't know that yet. Those of you that keep your concealed weapon thing going on, like let it ride every once in a while. And I have seen in time in my life that I would find myself like Mary. I was very scared. I was scared to change my life and let God come into my life and change me. This time of the year, we speak of when he came. He came to change us. He didn't come to leave us the way we are. When I found out what apostolic lifestyle was and the change that it was going to bring, I didn't want a part of it. How about you guys? How many first generation we got in here today? And you're proud of it? It's almost a third of us in the class of first generation. Second generation? Third generation? Wow. We're well balanced in here. Keep your hands down if you just came back because you backslid. We don't want to do that. Because you could have been backslid the whole time you was in church. Ooh, Brother Keith. Amen. But you're back and you're engaged, all right? In the things I would say that when I first realized how I felt like Mary did. Do you remember when someone came knocking at your door? Maybe it was a literal. We had door knockers in Louisiana. Man with a white long sleeve shirt came knocking at my door. And he didn't have a tag. I'm like, ooh, it's not one of them. I remember opening the door, and finally he was an apostolic man that knew my mom. Bam, closed that door. Knew what it was lining me up for. But could you imagine when the angel came to Mary? Do you all remember the stories? You remember Mary had a cousin named Elizabeth? Elizabeth was carrying his cousin John. Elizabeth knew when Mary came. Scriptures teach. Whoa, blessed, holy. How many of us could walk into a room today and go, somebody get that reaction? Whoa, blessed, holy. We probably do, and you're not aware of it. In the spirit, you're probably not aware of it, amen? When I, like you guys, were challenged for the apostolic Pentecostal lifestyle, was it really a hard thing to do? want y'all to think about it. I'm going to go slow. I still have like 15 minutes, 20 minutes. Were you guys, how many of y'all were teenagers like Mary when you got the Holy Ghost? Let me ask. I was 25. Wow, several teens. As a teenager, you think living for God was the way you wanted to roll? I remember me as a teenager, that was not what I had in mind. And the angel came to her and let her know what was going on. As pastor talks about a lot of apostolic childhood. And I find it very interesting because I've used him as a model for my family. And 4 years old, Gabby, I had a Holy Ghost filled child in my house. Jolie, how old? That's what I thought. The rest of Alexis, how old? 8 or 9. Mariah, you got the Holy Ghost yet? 6. Just teasing. She's our greeter. She has to have the Holy Ghost to be in the front door. When we portray and we interject as Mary did, as a young lady, what if God's going to come to you today, those of you that don't have the Holy Ghost in here? Brother Rick, how long have you been having the Holy Ghost? Your daddy was first generation, right? Yes. Don't just say backslider, man. It'd be okay. Second generation. Think about it. Think about all the marvelous things. What I want to do in this lesson, and it teaches us, it's got a bunch of questions, but I could do this my way. I want you to dig deep. If you leave with anything today, God has done a marvelous thing. Just the fact that you're not in jail today, in the hospital today, that you're not blind today, that you don't have cancer today, that you're not about to be in trouble today, that's a marvelous thing. That's a marvelous thing. Don't take it for granted, because the person next to you in your neighborhood, he or she may not have a marvelous thing like you do. Amen. We carry precious cargo, just like Mary did. When God changed my life, I knew. Do you know? People ask me, do I have the Holy Ghost? And I want to say, well, hope the Holy Ghost has me. Amen. Because a lot of people, when the religious, they claim to have the Spirit of God. I want to believe the Holy Spirit has me. When God came and took over Mary, he took over her. She didn't take over him. We do not have God. God has us. Amen. Things that had happened, I remember to change the life. One of them, as a young man at 25 years old, I could remember. I still try to go back and write things down just for me. It's just for me. My mom taught me to do this, first generation people, because we're so close. Don't forget where you just came from. Okay? We don't have the security and the solid lifestyle of second and third generation apostolic people. We don't. We're the base. We're the foundation. Dig deep. Make sure it's solid in your life. I do not take for granted at any one time. I like to even entertain the thought of remembering. I've been in this for 25 years. I like to go back and remember when I was lost and Jesus changed my life. I try to remember that, because people are going to come in the door looking for what we have. They're going to want salvation. This time of the year, we remember. How many of y'all would have thought somebody would go to Mary for help? No, a kid carrying a baby, she's an illegitimate mom. And she was toting the goods the whole 9 months. People look at you on your job. They know you have the goods. Don't forget, they know. It's just, and again, the ladies, of course, that present apostolic lifestyle, people know who you are. All the people came to the yard yesterday, a yard sale yesterday, they didn't know who we are. I didn't have to say, go find somebody in a skirt for help. Being serious. All the guys dressed nice, clean, and sharp like we were in the presentation. That's the apostolic way. You go to hell for that? No. That's how we do at our church. Okay? There's lots of people out there in the communities. It's not all that It's the presentation that's here that God's put in us that we're going to carry to them. I told Pastor this week, and it's due telling now, and I think it'll fit. Gentleman and I was having a conversation this week, and the 80-20 rule works all the time. How many of y'all believe in the 80-20 rule? Just when in doubt, when you think it's going good, however you like the 80 or the 20 to be, whether it be the 20 people, 20% of the people are upset, or the 80% of the people are upset, it always works. Well, we're going to take what we have in remembrance when we leave this church service and go to the next church service. There's a lot of people in here. I was trying to do a quick head count, but I wouldn't be surprised if 20% of y'all would not be happy with me. Is that fair, Pastor? I would hope. I hope 80% of y'all aren't unhappy with me, but I wouldn't be surprised at 20%. Don't be surprised in life when we bring what we believe to the forefront, that it's not about changing life of the person right next to you, that day they might be want to be the 80% to be happy, that they want to be the 80% to be glad, they want to be 80% to hear good news. On my job this week in preparation, my co-workers asked me at times, what am I doing? And this time I had a book. I didn't have the book. And they said, what are you reading on break? And I said, I'm reading, I've got to teach from this. And I said, I want y'all to tell me a marvelous thing God's done for you in your life. Real cool tool to witness with. You ought to get a book. I said, I want y'all to tell me something marvelous every day this week. Just two guys, primary. And one of the guys brought to me something that I opened my mouth, dropped open. And we get it sharp version. A lady that wanted to live another lifestyle, that was raised in a Pentecostal church, moved to California where that lifestyle is more accepted, and her partner broke up. And she's moved back to Florida and came to her daddy's house and knocked on the door and said, I'm not that way. I don't know what I was thinking, but I'm not that way. And I want to come home. And that's just this week. And by the grace of God, she ought to be in church about today, about now. And I thought about that thing, and he looked at me and he said, everybody's following my storyline without me going out there and offending anybody, because I want 80% of y'all to like me. When I thought how marvelous that was for a man to tell me that this week, it made me remember how much the enemy is such a liar. The enemy is such a liar. The reason she's coming back to what she believes and what she knows is true is because he's painting a picture that's so false out there, and it's pulling the apostolic people out for that kind of lifestyle. And it's a lie. And today he is so upset because they're coming back, not because they're going out. Amen. Because those of us that have family members that have chose to live that kind of lifestyle, and we know it's not of God, the marvelous thing is going to be when they come back. Amen? When they come back, by the grace of God, in Jesus' name, when they come back. I was thinking about in my lesson here, what would have been an ultimate victory? This is a great lesson to do testimony services, but I want you to stay with me. Tell me about an ultimate victory in your mind right now that you have that nobody else can top. Take a second. If I was going to call your name, which I'm not, so relax. An ultimate victory. I'm going to let that set in. I had an ultimate victory once, twice, three, four times. My ultimate victory just walked out. Where'd she go? How many of y'all know Jolie was born and died when Esther birthed her? I know for you to have been around, I don't talk about it much, but she walked out, so I can talk about it now. When Jolie was born, Pastor McGuire came to our house, sat on our sofa, was timing Esther's contractions, Remember this story, brother? And he said, he didn't know us very well. We had just moved here 2 months. And he said, Sister Esther, I think you need to go. You're right at 2 minutes apart. And I'm dumbfounded because I stayed up all night. I didn't know what was going on. And Pastor and Sister McGuire and Esther and I made a bond very quick. My girls went to Sister McGuire like they knew her all her life. They were 3 and 4 years old. I'd be Mariah and Alexis. And we were waiting on Jolie to come. And I got in the car, started the car, and I watched Pastor drive off. And I warmed up the car. And I went back in. His Sister Esther, I found her on the floor. And she was in a contraction. And I said, can you stand up or you want me to pick you up? And she said, just give me a minute. Just give me a minute. And I had lost total clue of Pastor was timing it. 2 minutes is not long. Because I've probably been telling this story for 2 minutes already. And I'm like, oh my God, like it snapped to me. Pastor was, oh, get in the car. We probably were all but 5 minutes away from where Jolie was going to be born. We didn't want to have a midwife to come to our house then, so we went to a birthing center. And how many of y'all know Lakeland fairly well? We get to the power plant by Lake Parker Park on the east side of town, Cumby Road area. And I thought Alexis was going to have Jolie in at the traffic light. She knelt down on the floor. I'm like, oh, no, 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 not here. We're not doing this at the fishing pier. No, 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 no. Ho, ho, baby, ho, ho. You got this, you got this. Put my hand on her. Drove to the other side of the lake, got into the birthing center. Long story short, one of the midwives had just got in and put on gloves and sanitized, and the other midwife hadn't got there yet. And Pastor, you remember the story? Shirley came out, blue. And I began to cry. I said, God, surely you didn't bring me here to Lakeland to have all of this happen and have a baby die. I'm saying this to myself because Esther's sitting in my holding like this. And I remember when Jolie came out, she had just an emotional life. And I saw it. And we began to pray, and she came like that. She came right to us. And the birthing mom, midwife, she was a hippie, like most of them are. And she said, whatever you do is working. Keep doing it. Now I'm Jesus, Jesus, you know how we get apostolic people when the marvelous thing is about to happen. Amen. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Can't say it fast enough. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Woo, Jesus. Marvelous thing, marvelous thing. And in preparation, I want you to remember, if you can, I know lots of y'all's testimonies, but when you leave today, think about the most marvelous thing that you ever had happen to you. I was thrilled to read and study the songs that Isaac Watt wrote and took scriptures. I'm a King James fan. I know it's not the only one. There's people fussing over the Bible all the time. Which Bible, which version, people can and can't understand. This one's my favorite. It's not my only. I do believe in this is the Word of God. In the cardinal scriptures, whatever one you're reading, the letter should killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. Amen. Whatever version you love to have, I think Mary would have had her version about right here, and it went down in the 8th month. But Mary carried her version, and she probably held that version day and night. The version probably woke her up. How many of y'all remember that? I know in the adult class, I don't think anybody's pregnant here today, but you remember how much it was? Us dads, you remember how many times you got woke up? Leg come flying over you, trying to get a nice, comfortable. Hey, whoa, 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 we don't do this. I got to go to work. Okay, they make pillows for that. Get off of me. I'm hot too, and that baby kicking on my back ain't happening. That word of God was in Mary so much, y'all. So much. It did so much for her. And when she birthed that baby, the baby did so much for us. So much for us. That you're carrying, those things that are burdening you on the inside, the marvelous things that God has in you, please, when it's time for that to pass, when it's time for that to be birthed, let it happen. Amen. Let it happen. This year, you're going to be a soul winner. This year, you're going to tell somebody the truth. When was the last time you let somebody know, hey, you have to have the Holy Ghost? You have to be baptized in Jesus' name for the remission of sins. You don't have to come to church every time I do, but you have to be born again. Amen? Because when you're born again, you will want to come to church with me every time I will want to go to church. Let's all stand as I close. Please remember the marvelous thing in your life. Brother Keith, my marvelous thing, I lost him. He's with Jesus. Brother Keith, my marvelous thing, I lost her. She's with Jesus. Brother Keith, my marvelous thing, he was my oldest child. He was my second child. He's gone. My marvelous thing is gone. No, the marvelous thing is you. Because you're still living and breathing on this earth. Amen. Remember, the marvelous thing is you. If God would have had a better marvelous thing than you right here, right now, he would have done it. The marvelous thing is you. It's me. It's us. We're here today, right here, right now. We're the marvelous thing. Lord, in Jesus' name, I thank you for the Sunday school class. I'd ask you for our intermission break to be a great time of fellowship. And Lord, prepare us for the next service. In Jesus' name, amen.